Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship Friday Night Home Fellowship. We want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join us now as we begin our message. I'm so blessed and thankful to have our next speaker come up. She is such a wonderful sister in the Lord. She is so blessed that God has given her wisdom and knowledge. She's steadfast. And there are times when I can see in her that she'll come and she grows weary like everybody else. But it's the Spirit of God that lives within her that keeps her going. And she's married to a wonderful man. I love Brother Johnny. I've known him since high school. We played football together. We were side by side on the offensive line at Sweetwater High School. So we go back. And I'm so thankful that he's here tonight as well. All of us that are here. And we're going to have our Bibles open, getting ready to receive, once again, the Word of God. So without any further ado, let's receive Snooki by saying, praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you all. Do I have to sit down?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Amen. I'm just not used to it. Let's see.
Amen.
Okay. Anyway, thank you all for receiving me. And am I being tape recorded?
Yes.
I am? Okay.
It's okay.
All righty. So thank you, Jenny, for that awesome word. Where'd she go? Well, you know what? I praise God for that word because, you know, I didn't know I was going to bring a word till 2 days ago. And I praise God that he had spoke to me early this morning as, you know, he awakens me at 4 a.m, probably every other day or every day, a lot of times. But a lot of times I'm disobedient and I don't wake up and get up. I'll be sleepy or too tired to wake up. But I know it's the Lord that's wanting me to get up and that he would speak to my heart and give me a word. But this past week, because of the fast that we have entered into, I really wanted to inquire of the Lord as to how to pray and what would the Lord have for me to speak to the church. And so he gave me two words that actually I brought a word. Well, the Lord brought a word on Wednesday evening as part of that. And so the Lord had already prepared me. Didn't know I was going to share a word. So these words truly, you know, so I didn't get all frustrated because I knew that I'm not here on my own accord. It's God. And it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ in me. And thank you, Jenny, because she prepared. We didn't know what we were sharing. She shared on spiritual warfare. And the Lord has placed in my heart the reality of spiritual warfare and how, whether we believe it or not, we are in a war. And so the Lord has stirred my heart in a way of really bringing some insight on how to effectively fight the good fight for Jesus Christ and for our walk here on earth. But let's open up in prayer. Mm-hmm. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord God, for you are God. You are awesome in power. You are our all in all. You are our Savior. You are our hope. You are our peace. You are our stronghold. You are the great I am. Father, we come before you now, O Lord, and we pray, Father, that you would speak forth your word, Lord God. Father, that I would decrease, O Lord. And Lord, that you would show your people your heart, Lord God. Father, for you are all powerful. And you are the God of whom we look to, Lord God. For you are the lifter of our heads. And you are, O Lord, the God who we worship. And we thank you, Father, for all that you do for us and how you give us victory, Lord God, in this life, in now, in the life that is to come. We ask that you speak now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe it was on Tuesday morning, the Lord had awoken me up And this was the verse that he gave me in Mark 1, verse 14. It says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" And we know that when Jesus Christ came here to earth, he was a fulfillment. And because he was a fulfillment of the gospel, we now have access to the kingdom of God. And now as believers in Christ, as we all are here, because this is a word, I believe, for the believers to be encouraged that we have the kingdom of God within us. The kingdom of God is within us. And with that comes with the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit working effectively in us, giving us the ability to have victory in every aspect of our lives. And it's the kingdom of God is not something that's tangible or something you can see. Scripture talks about that. It's not something that, you know, you can hold in your hand, or I want that kingdom of God, a non-believer can come and ask. It's something that God gives us. It's within us. It's Christ in us. And we know that the fulfillment of the kingdom of God is going to be the kingdom of heaven in the times to come that we will see. And so that was the word that the Lord gave me. And I was speaking and asking, okay, Lord, so we know that whenever we want to have victory in our lives, you know, we all sin. We sin each and every day, all of us. None of us are free from sin. We struggle, but yet God gives us victory. Mm-hmm. But in order to have true victory in our lives, we need to go before the Lord. And if we need to repent of something, then we need to repent and we need to be cleansed from whatever is holding us back, whatever's holding us captive, whatever's not keeping us from having that one-on-one communion with the Lord. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to just give it all to you. So I needed to repent myself. I needed to repent of allowing the things of the world to take precedence over those times when the Lord wants to wake me up, or over those times when I should be going to Wednesday night service instead of just being so tired because I worked so hard at work. And you know, isn't it something that every time we go to church, the Lord always just gives us an extra boost of energy? Right. It's like we might have got there tired, but we feel refreshed when we left. Yeah, I sometimes even like to stay and just hang out after church, even though I'm all tired. So, again, in order to have victory in our lives, we all, as believers, need to come before the Lord and give our hearts to him and ask for that cleansing so that we can be walking in the Spirit. And as we're walking in the Spirit, the Spirit of God causes us to be obedient, and we're sensitive to the Spirit. So that was the word that the Lord gave me. And as you all know, as ladies were coming in agreement with just praying for the body of Christ, and it was my turn to pray, and it was on the 22nd of this, which was this past week, and it was my turn to pray. So this was the word the Lord gave me. I just went before the Lord, and I stayed in prayer as much as I could throughout the day. But right after I read this word at 4 a.m, I went back to bed. And as I went back to bed at 5 o'clock, I went back to sleep about 5 a.m. and woke up about 7 a.m. And I had this throbbing pain on my face. It just started on like, have you ever been hit in the face with something really hard? It's like something hit my face, just like knocked my face out. And this pain just was. It was a burning sensation, and it just stayed there all day long. And it traveled down, further down into my cheekbone, and it just got progressively worse, actually causing my face to get swollen. Although I had no physical mark, I had no bite, I had nothing. I had people looking at nothing, and it just was throbbing so bad and keeping me from really being able to enter in. You know, I was getting into the word, but it was such a distraction and like a hindrance there. And by 3 o'clock, I said, Johnny, I have to go home. I can't take this anymore. I think I better call the doctor. Maybe I'm having a stroke or Bell's palsy or something's coming on. And so I called the doctor, and it was just one thing after another where I couldn't get through, and then I finally got through, and I left them my number. They said they'd call me back. They literally called me back 2 times, and my phone never rang. You could clearly see the doctor's number calling me back, but my phone never rang on my side, so I never got to the doctor. So Johnny, my husband, thank God, he just said, it's spiritual. My husband was the first one to say that. This is a spiritual attack, Snuggie. And I said, you know what? I don't know why I didn't see that, but my husband, the Lord used him to show me, you know what? I'm praying and fasting today. And so then he prayed, anointed me with oil. And then my sister-in-law, Martha, did the same thing. And as I was talking to her, she said something came on her as well. And I'm sharing this with you not to exalt the enemy, but how we combat the enemy in the reality of what he does to our everyday life. This is how blatant he comes against us. And he has a strategy against the body of Christ as a whole, not just Amazing Grace, but the body of Christ as a whole. I know other churches are going through the similar things of physical affliction. Right now, you know, there's a time and a season under heaven, Ecclesiastes says, for everything. And right now, I believe that it's a time of war, that we need to, the enemy has waged war against us, and we need to wage war right against him as well. It's a time for battle, for spiritual warfare. So thank you, Jenny, for that word. That is what's going to equip us to go forward in the word that I'm going to share this evening. But anyway, as they prayed for me, Jenny even came over and laid hands on me. After Jenny prayed, the pain was gone. Just like it came, it was gone. And no traces or evidence of it happened. And so then Jenny, we started talking, and she said something happened to her head. She was praying. And then it was evident again on Wednesday night service when I see Audie Sally, my sister here, totally oppressed on her head. And she had to literally get up and walk out of service because of the pain was so had engulfed her head. So I see how the enemy really is out there trying to render us ineffective as a body to go forward, because God is doing something real in the ministry, and he wants to use each and every one of us at such a time as this, because we are living in some amazing times. Right now, the Word of God says that, you know, they were the question was asked to Jesus, when would the end times be? When would the time come? And he said the days would be like Noah, when they were giving in marriage, and they were people were living their lives, their everyday lives. They were partying, they were drinking, they were eating, almost living life complacently. And then also in Sodom and Gomorrah as well, given in marriage and marrying in marriage and partying and living the life decadence is the word that comes to me, a life of decadence, of overindulging in the things of carnality in the world. And that is what we have now. How many of you would really agree that this, we are in the end times, because these things are happening? So the stage is already set. The time is fulfilled right there. Jesus says right here, he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He's calling right now, we're in the dispensation of repentance. Right now is the time of the Holy Spirit that he's being poured out upon all the world. Right now is the time for the salvation to come unto all man. But there's going to be a time where we as a church are going to be raptured, and those that stay left behind are going to have to go through a tremendous tribulation, a time of great travail. And so as I was thinking about, you know, a lot of times we think, because I was thinking, what, Lord God, what is it? Am I in sin? I know I repented. I mean, what is it, Lord? I'm seeing some people that are abiding in Christ. I mean, they're in the Word daily, and they're getting hit. Even Pastor Fee got hit 2 days after he got home from Israel. You know, it's not just the ones that are weak that are getting hit. It's every single one of us. The enemy, if he can take us out, he's going to take the leadership or anybody else that he can. So this is not just those who are maybe struggling in their walk. It's each and every one of us. We all need to be girded up. Please take that as a word, because the enemy wants to, right now is a time he's staging up for a great falling away. The scripture talks about that. His time is running short. He knows his time is running short. He only has a certain amount of time to do the upheaval that he wants to do. And so because of that, he's waging war against God's people. And it's not so much that the affliction will come upon those that are even strong in the Lord. But we know that whatever the Lord allows to happen, God will turn it around for good for his glory. And he also will be glorified in the midst of it. So we don't need to fear that. Because I started to question, Lord, am I so out there that this would happen to me, you know, because we always want to try to figure out. There's always a cause. Well, why did this happen? Something, you know, we even read that in our study last week, how this young blind man was born blind. And the question was asked was, did his parents sin or did he sin? What caused him to be blind? We always want to know a reason. What caused this to happen? But to know that, you know, the enemy is out there and he's waging war against the people of God. He's waging war against us. And I wanted to share two examples of that very thing. Because remember in the Gospels, Jesus, he would go out and cast out demons. But the ones that he would cast demons out, those were non-believers. They became believers in Christ. Some of them did after they were delivered. But there's also examples of the enemy coming against the people of God. Yes. So there are examples that we can look at and see that the enemy comes against the people of God. And he did that with David and Goliath. And that is in 1 Samuel. That is in 1 Samuel 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to go through different pieces of that. So if you have your word, you can bring it out. But I just wanted to share how even this great giant, and you know, we all have giants in our lives, right. Giants of fear, giants of bondage, giants of whatever it is, maybe your giant. You can look at Goliath and say, that's your giant that you need to be delivered from. But, and the enemy always comes to cause fear and confusion. Always remember that. And David was a young man at this time. He still hadn't become king as of yet. And in verse 10, you can read the account right there. I'll go to verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and who had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and weight of a coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spear-headed weighed 600 shekels, and a sheared bearer went before him. So he even had a sheared bearer that went before him. Then he stood and he cried out at the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down if he is able to fight with me and kill me. And when we will be Then if we will be your servants, but if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, this is what he said, key verse right here. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that I may fight together, that we may fight together. Then Saul and all of Israel heard these words that the Philistines said, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The enemy will always boast out. The enemy always comes to defy the living God that is in us. He'll always come to bring fear and doubt and confusion. And look at how fearful they were. And these were men of war. These were men of battle who fought great, had great victory. But when this big old huge giant, I wanted V to go up and look and give us all the dimensions of how big this guy really was, but I can only imagine he was huge. Yeah. He was huge, a huge man. And probably the length of maybe five men. I'm not quite sure. And so this is where I wanted to get to. In verse 20, it says, so David who rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper. He was a sheep herder, and took the things and went as Jesse commanded, because his father had told him to go out and see how your brothers fare and give them some food. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up a battle array, an army against the army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up by the armies of Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Again, they were dreadfully afraid. So the man of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes." So whoever killed this man was going to get rich and not even have to pay taxes. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine?" This is the kind of faith David had. What shall be done? You know, he kind of thought of that for a minute. And then who takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And that is how we need to have that faith. That's whenever right. The enemy comes against us, who is this entity that's coming against us, that's defying the living God that is where? In us.
That's right.
The living God that is in us. That is not to say we are God, but Christ is in us. He's given us everything that we need to have the faith of David, to have victory. And so let's go again now to where David kills him. And says, "Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's," this is what David is saying to the king, "let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." So David was just a young little kid. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." And this is what David says, key verse. "Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So you see, David already had a God experience. He already had an experience with the Lord where he saw the Lord deliver him mightily.
Yeah.
And many of us have had those such experiences, maybe not a lion or a bear, but maybe the Lord delivered you from the bondage of alcohol, homosexuality, a drug abuse, whatever it is that the Lord has delivered you from. Never forget where God has delivered you from. That is your memorial. That is your testimony. That is the strength that you're going to need to have in times of testing. Always remember what God did for you, because what he did for you then, he's able to do for you now.
That's
in the
right.
circumstance that you're in. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And right here, this is another key verse. Then David said to the Philistine, this is out, they're getting ready to go to battle. And then David says, "You come to me with the sword and with the spear and with the javelin." So Goliath is totally stocked up in his battle array, in his battle gear. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth, key verse here, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That is what victory does to us, ladies. It gives us a word to give to other people. Always remember, our circumstances are not just for our hardships that we go through when we're in the body of Christ. It's a testimony to give God glory. As God is glorified in the midst of your circumstance, when you've come full circle through of that circumstance and God has been glorified, what are you going to do? You're going to testify. There is a living God who has shown himself strong on my behalf. Let me tell you what he's done for me. So you don't forget. Don't forget. That's just, this is just a beautiful story. If you're ever discouraged or you're ever afraid, you go to this. Go to this. There's so many others. There was another story where it talks about there was a plague that hit the camp of the Israelites. And this man named Phineas. Went out and he interceded for the people, and the people had fallen into idolatry, which is the idol worship of other gods, and they had intermarried women who they weren't supposed to marry. They were marrying idol worshipers, and the women had drawn the man into that, and then a plague came and fell upon the people. A plague came. So this man Phineas interceded on behalf of the people. And they were told to kill all the people, all the men and the women who committed these acts. But they withheld some, and they didn't kill all of them. But Phineas went forward and did that, and that's in Numbers, I believe, 23. And he actually smited the last two, and then the curse, the plague was lifted. So I wanted to share with you how we need to have, and then it says that Phineas, had a zealousness for the Lord. He had a zeal for the Lord. It's actually Numbers 25. And let me read that to you. Then the Lord, it's in Numbers 25:10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest. So Phinehas was actually Aaron's grandson. Aaron was the one that was the brother of Moses. And Aaron the priest has turned back my wrath. He turned back the wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore, behold, I give him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God. And that's what we need to be. We need to be zealous for God. And I had my sister look it up because, you know, I don't know how to use the computer, and you can find so many things on that computer. But anyway, we defined what zealous means, and it's full zeal, it's enthusiasm, it's energetic, it's unflagging enthusiasm, especially for a cause. So we should be that way for Jesus. Jesus is our righteous cause. And so sometimes when that happened to me the other night, I have to tell you, I woke up the next day and I was angry. I was angry with the righteous anger. I couldn't believe that, you know what, the enemy has stepped it up against the body of Christ, against our church. We need to step it up. We as a church, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, yes. The spirit of the living God. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. And I know that most of us here are women, but you know what? The men are now going to join in this fast. So I believe this word is very appropriate, because the men now, it's going to be, they're going to come in and we're going to be stronger. Yes. And you know, because there is, we need to be of one accord and one mind. And we know that the enemy has an end. Another word that the Lord gave me, and we always have to remember that the enemy has an end. Yes. Jesus Christ and his kingdom, we never have an end. We as his people are going to be from everlasting. We're going to have an everlasting life. Yes. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And so I want to take a look at Isaiah 14, because this was another word when I got up the next day feeling like I was feeling. And, you know, not that I'm beyond being attacked in such a way, but I haven't had a physical attack like that. I have to say, I haven't had a physical attack like that in a long time. And I have to discern that when those kind of things attack like that, I mean, when it hits me like that, and this is what the Lord was speaking to me, they're always occultic in its nature. So I have prayed and asking the leadership that we need to go in and we need to pray cleansing in the temple.
Yes.
Before, I know that there was a time that we did that. We need to go back to that place of praying a cleansing within the temple and a cleansing within the fellowship hall whenever we have a women's study. I say that because even in the women's study, a sister in the Lord who is a strong intercessory prayer warrior, while she was praying, had a really bad head pain come on her to the point where she almost vomited. And she had to get up and go to the restroom. And she's a mighty woman of prayer. And she confirmed to me that it was something spiritual. So I don't know in regards to what is being taught in the temple. All I know is there's something occultic in its nature.
Yes.
There's something that is hitting us in a physical way. And I'm not saying that for us to be fearful of anything, because God is going to give us the victory in it. But now's the time to let those things go, which are in carnality, or those things that are weak in your life. You need to strengthen them. You need to strengthen them in the Lord right now. And so I wanted to take a look at Isaiah, because this is what the Lord gave me. Isaiah 14, verse 9. And this is the enemy's demise. This is what's going to happen to Satan. And it's in verse 9. It says, hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It is raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. They all speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? This is what all the people are saying in hell. Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. This is what he said. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like God, the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pits. This is what people are going to say when they see Satan. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? So this is what people are going to say. Is this the man? Is this him? Is this Satan who caused the world to tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Is this what he is? Has he become just like those? So this is his end. He has an end. And we need to not be fearful of him and what his devices are, but be spirit-filled so that we can fight the good fight and put that armor of God. And not be so fearful to where we will shrink away, and also recognize when the enemy attacks, but not to glorify him in it. You know, like, we don't need to even talk about it. Remember when Jesus was rebuking the demonic people in the New Testament? He didn't have a conversation with them. He just said, be quiet and cast them out. He always said just a few words. So we don't even have to really talk about all those things. And God's word says that we shouldn't even, be all glorify ourselves about it, because we should just be glad that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So anyway, I just wanted to reiterate that time is short. And so the enemy is stepping it up.
Yes.
He is stepping it up. But I wanted to end with Revelations 1, and that's, this is Christ our Lord, and talking about his soon return. So, okay. In verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. That's what we are in Christ. We are kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, I am coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, he who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. So, Lord God, we do just come before you, my God. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you, Father, have called us to a royal priesthood, Lord God, that you have called us for such a time as this, Lord God. Lord God, we come before you humbly, Lord God, knowing that it is only in you, Father, that we can do anything. It is only in your name, Jesus, that we have victory. It's only in your blood, Lord God. So we pray, Father, that you would equip your people, that you would equip us, Lord, to stand fast, Lord God, to be victorious in battle, to have that spirit, Lord God, that David had in him, that the man that you say that had a heart after your own very heart, that we would have a heart like David, but mostly, Lord, that we would be like Jesus, Lord God, that you would give us victory in every aspect of our life. Prepare us, Lord God. We want to be those watchmen on the wall. We want to be those people who proclaim you, Jesus, to others. And right now, Lord, we just come before you and we pray, Lord, that all those who have heard your word this evening, Lord God, that you would touch their hearts. Lord, that you would draw them to yourself, Lord God, that their names would be written in your Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, that you would give them a new life and that you would give them life abundantly. And right now, if you're hearing my voice, I just ask that you would, if you'd like to partake in the kingdom of God and know victory in your life, you could ask Christ to come into your life right now. And it's this prayer doesn't save you. It's the faith that you have in Christ that will save you. And he will speak to you and he will teach you. So you can speak these words in your heart or if you speak them out loud. Jesus, I come before you now. And I ask forgiveness and I repent of my sin. I pray that you make me a person that serves you in spirit and in truth. I ask that you come into my heart and make me anew, that I would become a new creation, that I too would have victory in my life. I ask you to come into my heart as Lord and Savior. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Yeah.